And then I want to tell you about Lord Maitreya. He is the Lord of Love and Compassion, the Planetary Christ, and he holds the office of the Christ. And he is the head of Shambhala, or the spiritual hierarchy, the Great White Brotherhood. There are many names, the Great White Lodge, the Great White Brotherhood, so they're all one and the same, just many different titles. The predecessor of Maitreya was Gautama Buddha, who predicted many hundreds and thousands of years ago that at a certain age and in a certain time, specifically a Kali something, I don't remember, it's an Eastern age, a name for an Eastern age, that Maitreya would come. And he is the one, the great teacher that we have all been waiting for. And every religious heritage has that story in it, that a time is coming when a great teacher appears, whether it's Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, Christian, American, Indian, take any of them and that teaching is there. So it's very deep, and the hope is that we will be able to recognize him when he really does show himself. It is said that he is in a body now on the earth, and I think it's Joshua David Stone that said he's in England somewhere. I can't remember. Oh, in India, London, India, okay. And what I want to say about the fact that he is in body is this is such a great being that he was not born, I'm certain of that. I'm certain that he created or manifested the body that he resides in. He is the great teacher of all the teachers of Jesus, of Kuthumi, El Moria, any of us who are seeking knowledge and wisdom. His heart pours out the energy that guides us to what we need for our own growth and evolution. Now, his lives are very interesting too, and almost no surprise here either. He was Krishna in the Hindu teaching. I've already mentioned his work with Jesus. When John baptized Jesus in the River Jordan, it is Maitreya who was the overshadowing voice that you hear. The way the Bible has been translated, so much of the deep meaning of the Hebraic words or the Arabic words has been lost, and the easiest way to translate that is just that God said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." But truly it was this Bodhisattva, the Lord Maitreya. And I already mentioned all of this, I think. I have a note here that I'll read because I've got a star by it, so it must be important. The Christians refer to the second coming of Christ, the Jews look for their Messiah, and the Muslims for the Imam Mahdi, the Hindus for the Kalki avatar. Lord Maitreya is the great one that we all seek. And it is through Lord Maitreya that the representative Sanyat Kumara pours the energy of his love and wisdom to all things on our planet. He is the one who is above the three, these three great teachers. And Kuthumi is the one who is Maitreya's greatest assistant, and it's said that he will assume the office of the Christ when Maitreya goes on in his evolutionary growth. Gosh, we're out of time. Let me just... I wanted to mention about Sai Baba and Mother Mira. Sanyat Kumara, I think the one thing I want to say here, because I know all of you have heard this, is that in the Bible, he is the one who is called the Ancient of Days. That's very plainly written, but his name is never given. That is he. If you go into the Hindu texts or the Eastern work, it is Sanyat Kumara who is the Ancient of Days. He is known as the first Kumara, and when he came, he brought six others with him to assist in his work. And he is the one who presides over all of the work of all of these that we've talked about, specifically the energies that flow through Shambhala and out into the planet. And a great work it is. One other note, that he is the sole repository of the will and purpose of the one of whom he is an expression, and that would be the creator, and then step down many times the planetary logos, who to us is beyond comprehension, really. The greatest of all known avatars to humanity. I want to talk just briefly about Sai Baba. Sometime we ought to really get a film and look at his life. There are many good ones out there. And it'd be nice to get one that's like a biography, because his life is so fascinating. I know about Sai Baba from a good friend of mine who lives in Atascadero, and she's been many times to his ashram. And he is the living trinity, you might say, of the Hindu teachings. Now, I don't know their gods that well. I've got Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. And at one time I knew each of them, but I can't tell you tonight specifically. But he is the incarnation of those three in one. And he is the living master for India at this time. He used to say he would come to the United States when my friend Pat was going, but many of us just knew that he was there for India and to further awaken those people and inspire them in the midst of their poverty and struggle. And beyond that, he's the cosmic Christ. There's a whole above planetary evolution, you then have cosmic, solar, cosmic, it's just many, many levels. He is the incarnation of the cosmic Christ at this time. And he can do things like simply place his hands and manifest whatever it is, whether it be food, or my friend has had amulets manifested, a little book that he gave her. He told her that she could read it until it was printed in her heart, and then he would reclaim it. And, well, how long is that going to be, Baba, you know? Pat is so funny. But I never did see the book, but she told me specifically where she had it in her bedroom, and she did read it every day. And she woke up one morning, and it was disappearing before her eyes. The same thing has happened to the amulet and the ring. He also is one who manifests the divine ash. You've been reading about him, haven't you, Linda?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Just wonderful. Is that, what is that called? Is it Vibhuti?
Vibhuti.
And there are people who have containers of this ash, and it manifests, you know, it'll go down and it manifests more. And it's amazing, just amazing what he's doing. And I think a lot of people in the beginning are drawn to him because of the healing miracles or the manifesting kind of miracles that he does. But he's just teaching us, just as Jesus tried to, and as the Buddha and all our other great saints, that what he's doing we are capable of as well. We just have to wake up further, you know, and evolve. But he is one who was self-realized or God-realized as a very young child. You know, one of the few that we know of that we have now a clear record of his life. So it's such a great teaching. So you can visit his ashram, and you can write to him. And supposedly he reads everything that comes to him, and you can call out to him. When I first heard about Sai Baba, a friend said, oh, come to Santa Barbara and see this film. And I didn't know anything about him, and I felt really, I'm a real skeptic, basically, so I went, okay, I'll go and check this out. Well, when I saw him, my intellect went, oh yeah, this is an avatar. Look at the afro he's wearing, and look how short he is. My intellect just went in there, and all my judgments jumped in. But then when you heard him speak or you saw the work that he was doing, my heart just blew open. So it'd be really neat to have a film sometime, though, so you can see him and hear more about his life. Do you want to share something about him, Nancy, that comes to you particularly?
Mm-hmm. And I can say that Baba manifested that for me. I went to the first Sai Baba meeting that evening. That night, I had all my dreams.
Yes.
And after
that's what happened to me.
It was just unconditional love, a tongue being known. And it's just, it's like you reached out to find me.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you. After I saw that film, that's almost exactly what happened to me, and I had no idea that anything like that would occur. I do have vivid dreams and am very active in my dream life, but I mean, this was very specific, and it was like we were sitting there talking, like I hadn't been asleep, and it stayed with me for months and months. So, and it's said that if you call him, you know, he hears you and he can come. The other incarnate master that I really want to mention is Mother Mira in Germany, and talking about feminine or female masters. She's very active. She's beginning to publish. There are a few things that you can get of her teachings or sayings that some of her disciples are now writing down. But she is on the pure energy of love, and it is said that to be in her presence is so healing that sometimes all the rest of the work that you would have tried to do in this lifetime is complete in her presence. And I'm just finding it so interesting that she's in Germany, because she isn't German. Gosh, I'll give you, I've got one of her little books, the sayings. I'll give that to you, Linda, to take. Yeah, I'll try and find it tonight before you leave. Anything anybody else wants to share or that you know of, anyone else? There are many. And not just in the countries that we've mentioned, but it's happening all over. There's a woman doing an incredible work with the Blessed Mother in South America that probably many of you have heard of. There is a young girl who was a vibrant, alive child, and then I don't know what the illness was that she contracted, but she had some sort of an illness. She's never died. She is just in coma, but so beautiful. And what happened is that people came into her presence just to visit her, and they might have had something wrong, and it was gone. And she's Catholic, and the church is investigating this. I'm not sure what state she lives in, but what's now begun to happen in her home, her mother you know, was very protective of her and very skeptical of all of this in the beginning, but she collected statues of the Blessed Mother, and they kept coming to her. She would find another one and another one. Pretty soon this child's room was just full of statues of the Blessed Mother, the Immaculate Heart, or the Sacred Heart of Jesus, all of this. And the statues are now weeping. And some of them weep blood or have the blood coming out of the open wounds on their hands. Tears, this has been scientifically investigated. It is human blood. It's not of the blood type of the child or the I don't know the whole story, but it's just another example of a way that spirit reaches out to touch us, to help us have faith and believe, because we are in an age that's so faithless much of the time. So, I could tell you so many stories, but it's late. And one thing I had hoped to do before we leave is just to go deep for a few minutes before actually leaving and touch into the energy that is the Master's energy, the great hierarchy that supports and guides us, and all our brothers and sisters in spirit. So is that appropriate, or do people need to leave? If you need to leave, okay.